WABE. This is Atlanta's Choice for NPR. I'm Rose Scott. Now, early in the program, we heard from a Georgia State University professor tracking some of the challenges that homeless youth in Atlanta are facing, including human trafficking. And we're going to continue on with the plight of another demographic, and that's women and women with children. And we're going to tell you about a project called the Rolling Suitcase Project. I'm joined now by Carolyn Aidman. She's Associate Director of Emory University's Urban Health Initiative, and Rachel Reynolds, the Atlanta Mission Communications Manager. Thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Carolyn, let me start with you because I want to learn a little bit more about Emory University's Urban Health Initiative. What's it all about?
The Urban Health Initiative works to make sure that future medical professionals understand what it's like to work with our urban population, sometimes very low resourced. And we do medical education, and we provide things like the rolling suitcase drive, which we discovered when we were visiting the shelter in about 2014, that the homeless women and children were walking, carrying their precious items in trash bags.
Sure, we're going to get to that in a moment. When you talk about helping develop them, are you focusing on particular neighborhoods in the Atlanta area or the entire region?
Well, we work in the region, but the west side is really one of our target areas, and we make sure that people are able to get good health care through our Healing Community Center, which is a federally qualified health center located on the west side. We work with grocery stores, urban gardens, communications, all kinds of projects that will help our clients and patients be healthier so that they can have better lives.
And Rachel, the Atlanta Mission, this organization dates back to the late 1930s. I mean, it became a nonprofit a little bit later, but you all have a history here in this city.
We have a long history in this city. So we started in 1938 as a soup kitchen in response to the Great Depression. So mainly it was for men who were experiencing a job loss. And then in the 60s, we opened up the first women and children shelter and started serving women, particularly women who were having children. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, today we are a four-campus facility serving up to 1,000 men, women, and children every day.
Now, I want to get you both to reflect on this because over the years it's been reported or written that it's nearly impossible to get an accurate account of the nation's homeless population. But we also know the face of who's homeless has changed.
Dramatically.
Yeah. Well, how do you reflect on that? What do you think about that?
Yeah, so a couple of things. It's interesting because I actually participated in the point in time count this year, so I was able to see firsthand kind of how that's actually counted. It is voluntary, and they do usually just count it on one day during the year. But for us at Atlanta Mission, we're actually seeing the population increase. So we saw 6,800 unique individuals walk through our door last year. That's a staggering amount of people. And like you said, the face of homelessness is changing. A lot of those are women and children. Mm-hmm. And that population is growing dramatically.
It may be hard because everyone's circumstances mm-hmm. is different, but what is typically the scenario? Is it housing?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Or coming from an abusive
yes.
situation?
Yes to all of that. And so usually what we say is for those 1,000 men, women, and children we serve, it's 1,000 different stories. But yes... The rise of childcare costs, the lack of public transportation, the rise of housing costs, those are all huge factors, particularly for women with children. They're just trying to make ends meet. And if they, you know, if their child ends up being sick and has to stay at home, then they miss work. And so that can kind of spiral out of control. So we are seeing, particularly in the city of Atlanta, the rise of women and children being homeless.
And just for clarity, you say on any given day, you're talking about 1,000 people in general just coming through your doors for...
Actually staying with us.
Staying
so
with
that's
you.
The capacity that we're at as far as beds. We see more than that. So the shelter that Carolyn comes and gives the suitcases to, it's just a day shelter. Mm-hmm. So that's a shelter where... people can just get day services. Maybe they just need a shower that day. Maybe they need a suitcase to store their belongings in. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those women and children, we cannot serve because we do not have enough room for them.
I've heard that so many times. There aren't enough beds.
I know, it's devastating.
Carolyn, let's talk about this rolling suitcase project. How did all this begin? Take us back.
It was about 2014, and I went to the shelter, which was the day shelter, and what I heard was this was where women and children who are just entering homelessness come, because that's where they learn about the services and get the beginning help. At that point, it wasn't part of the mission, so we observed that the women were carrying all their precious possessions in trash bags. So I sat down with the family and I asked them, what's in your bag? My birth certificate, my driver's license, my mother's wedding picture, my only decent pair of shoes. And the kids were showing me their only little game, their stuffed animal. And I had just bought two new suitcases, so I asked the staff, can I bring mine and donate them, because they worked well. We like suitcases with good zippers and good wheels. And they said, it's our most important item to help people, because at that time, the day shelter and the night shelter were not related, and there were families walking 4 miles with all their possessions from one shelter to the next. So we started putting out the word, and we started receiving suitcases, just one or two at a time, like we brought you one today to show you. Mm-hmm. It's number 539 in our 5 years of bringing them. And we get surrounded with people the minute we get to the shelter. May I have it? No, put your name on the list, because there's always between 50 and 150 families looking for a rolling suitcase.
Rachel, prior to that, you know, Carolyn talked about folks carrying all their possessions in these trash bags or whatever they had. So prior to that, you all experienced seeing this.
Yeah, totally. It's, you know, it's interesting working in homeless services, because so we don't actually take any government funding. So everything's privately funded. And so we, a lot of times, the resources that we have are what's given to us. And so, you know, something as simple as a suitcase may not seem like a lot to you or I, but for someone experiencing homelessness, it's incredibly important. And so, yeah, this has been a huge initiative, because now we have a consistent stream of these coming in.
How many do you get within a fiscal year or calendar year? How many
suitcases? About 100.
We'd say about 100, but we'd really like to increase that.
I'm going to say, is that enough?
No, that's one of the reasons why we want to be with you. It's not close to enough. And one of the things is we see people going from a trash bag to the dignity and mobility of a suitcase. Mm-hmm. And one day I delivered this beautiful red hard-sided bag to the shelter, and that afternoon I came back, I saw a family walking down the street. The mom had 3 kids. One she was carrying on her chest, mm-hmm. one sitting on each side of the suitcase, and they were going down the street singing.
Rachel, someone would say, well, what services can you all provide to help these women and women with children transition, take the suitcase with them if they want, but transition from that state of walking up and down the street into more stable housing? Are you all able to, if you can't help them, point them in the right direction?
Yeah, so we don't just provide a night of shelter for these women and children or these men that stay with us. We're really trying to give a holistic life transformation to them. Mm-hmm. So we have actually 3 outcomes for everybody that will exit our services. One is, because we think you can't just get someone a house, because that's not the answer. Giving someone a job is not always the answer. 95% of the people that walk through our door have experienced extreme trauma. And that is what's causing them to not be able to keep that house or keep that job. And so the 3 things that we have as outcomes are, one, you need to be rooted in community somewhere. That may just have one friend outside of us. Because you know what's happened to most of these people is they have nobody that they can call. And so that's why they end up at our door.
But do you all also help operate other day shelters or just your shelter?
So we have our day shelter, and then we have 3 overnight shelters.
And where are those overnight shelters?
So we have, so when you come through our day shelter, that's really the first point of entry. These people are trying to get stabilized. Mm-hmm. Homelessness itself is a trauma. They have nowhere to stay. That's a huge trauma point. And so they're walking through our doors, and we're really trying to triage. We're trying to see if we're the best fit for them long term. So can they stay with us and go through our residential programming? Mm-hmm. Or do they need to go somewhere else? Can we reunite them with family? Do they have family outside of us? Or is there another shelter that's going to be best for them in order to, like, for them to you know, sustainably live. So the other two outcomes that we have, so once, say that person comes in the door, we see our services as the best, mm-hmm. we'll take them over to our overnight shelter, which for women and children, it's called My Sister's House, mm-hmm. and they will go into our residential program. There they will receive counseling, social work, child care support. They'll receive job training, and then any sort of social services they might need. So maybe some of them don't have an ID. They need their ID. So they'll receive all of that underneath our roof.
Are there circumstances where you have to maybe get the state involved if there is, you mentioned trauma, but we talked about mental health, mm-hmm. and there might be either something as someone has diabetes, they need to get their medicine.
100%.
So yes. there's circumstances where you need to get other agencies involved.
Oh, 100%. We can't do this work. We can't do this work isolated. We really say at Atlanta Mission, we're community united because we are. We need the entire community to come around us. We're not always the answer for everything, mm-hmm. but we can provide a space to find the answers. And so, yes, a lot of we use the community, and we're partners with the community in all those aspects.
Carol, let me ask you, how important is community and what you all do, too, to work together, whether it's with this Rolling Suitcase Project or any other initiative that you all are involved in? You gotta rely on partnerships.
You have to. And we believe in community-based partnerships in research. So, for example, if a community wanted to understand itself, our graduate students and others would help the community know how to do the research so that they would have those skills for the future and be able to cause the kind of change that they think will work. Because we believe people are the experts on themselves.
Often on this program, we've done a lot about affordable housing and something like that that really leads to all these other circumstances. And I don't want to put y'all on the spot in terms of policy and legislation, but what does that say to you that even still in 2019, when we're talking about affordable housing, people understanding that that component right there is the foundation that can prevent a lot of these other issues that folks have. And no one has come up with the affordable housing solution.
Oh, my gosh. I know. We would be like, someone needs to crack that code. No, so I've been in Atlanta 7 years, mm-hmm. and I've even seen it's gotten increasingly worse here. And that's the most devastating thing for our population. The one thing Atlanta Mission we don't control is housing.
Yeah.
And so many of our women and children have to stay with us because they may be ready. They may have a job. They may be ready to leave us, but they don't have housing that's sustainable for them and their family.
Well, and if you count, if you're trying to rent, if you're counting deposit, first month's rent,
child
application,
care,
all that.
Transportation.
And that depends on where a person may want to live.
I know. So that is one of the greatest challenges. It's incredibly difficult in the work that we do because we feel like we create such a stabilizing environment for these women and children that come to us, and we create this community for them. And we want so desperately for them to have that community outside of us. And so that is one of the biggest challenges that we have, especially with the increasing amount of people coming into the city.
If someone listening says, well, for right now, Rachel, it's just you just need more beds with that help. You need more facilities with that help. I mean, it's not obviously the quick fix, but it would help, is what you're saying.
So it's crazy, too. I was actually telling Carolyn this in the lobby. We are actually tearing down the day shelter that she goes to, and we are rebuilding it. And we are increasing our capacity by 100 beds for women and children. So in 2020 of this year, we are going to rebuild our Ethel Street location, which is incredible because this is going to be for the most vulnerable population. So those women and children that legitimately have nowhere to go and they have barriers to entry in shelters, because there are barriers of entry, that will be the shelter for them.
And when do you anticipate this being ready to open?
Yeah. So it should be opening in the first quarter of 2021, which is incredibly exciting for us.
But, you know, 2021, that's over a year away.
It's over a year away. It's just, you know, Atlanta's growing. And so we are currently in the stage of fundraising. Mm-hmm. So we are a cash-based organization. We have to raise the money.
Oh, before. I understand about raising money.
We have to raise the money before we start building the shelter, which, you know, kind of is annoying, but that's just how it works. Mm-hmm. So we'll be breaking ground on the new shelter in 2020. We will still, the women and children who come to the day shelter, we're still offering services to them, just at our overnight shelter.
Carolyn, any idea when you just decided to take the suitcase to the shelter that this would turn into a project of this magnitude and that you would still be involved in?
Actually, yes, because I saw the first people receive the bags, and they just transformed in the moment. They said, this will give me dignity, and I haven't felt very dignified in a while.
And even though it's just a suitcase, and someone listening is saying, well, it's just a suitcase, but it means a lot.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Like she said, for this population, I mean, you see them, they have the clothes on their back, and they have one bag of things. And so to have something to call their own is incredibly important.
And I know a lot of folks are going in their closet right now. Everybody go to the basement in the garage, and they have these suitcases because they'll email me or call.
Yes.
But where can they donate these suitcases for you all?
Yeah, so you can, we accept all monetary and in-kind donations to our shelters. And the shelter that Carolyn specifically gives it to is our day shelter, and it's located on Ethel Street, mm-hmm. which is right off of Northside Drive. There's a new-ish Chick-fil-A there,
yeah.
right behind that Chick-fil-A. It's 655 Ethel Street. And if you want more information about Atlanta Mission and how you can get involved, it's atlantamission.org.
I love to ask reflection questions, and I love to ask questions that deal with optimism. But as we look to, we've been using 2040 as a gauge, because in 2040, you know, Atlanta's going to have, I don't know, 8 gazillion people or maybe 8 million people. But as we look to say maybe 2 or 3 years from now, from your just with the work you all are doing, do you see Atlanta's homeless population? Do we see that number declining, you think? Or do you think it's because you all are on the front yeah. lines here?
So not declining, but this community is behind the homeless population. Mm-hmm. And so I feel incredibly confident that we are doing the best work we could possibly doing. You can't go to any other city in the United States that is doing the work that we're doing. So I feel like we have a community. While it's not declining, we have a community that cares about this mm-hmm. and that is incredibly invested in talking about these issues, coming and volunteering, doing what they can. And so I feel confident that we have the right people in the city doing the work.
And Carolyn, as it relates to the Emory University Urban Health Initiative, you all have some goals that you all would like to see as well, maybe in the next couple of years?
We do. We would like to see housing developments where you have the opportunity to work right from your own community. And you can be part of a development that's moving your community larger and in better shape.
All right. Carolyn Ademan, Associate Director, Emory University Urban Health Initiative, and Rachel Reynolds, Atlanta Mission Communications Manager. We'll have a link to both of your organizations. And, again, we'll have information if folks want to donate those suitcases. Thank you so much for coming on the program and talking about this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.